thankful to be here today and to have this opportunity again to stand before you and open up the pages of the Bible and share with you some things that we need to give consideration to. I appreciate you mentioning me in prayers. I always will be quick to tell you that I need your prayers. I appreciate that. That's an encouragement to me, and you're an encouragement for being here. I hope that we can say that concerning one another. If you have any questions about the things you hear, don't hesitate to let me know. I'll do my very best, if you ask a Bible question, to give you a book, chapter, verse, Bible answer for those questions. If you ask me something that I don't know, and that's a very real possibility, then I'll just simply say, I don't know, but I'll study that and get back with you and do my very best to just give you what the Bible says and nothing else. Not what I think about it or my opinion, but just simply what the Scriptures say. Probably all of us have experienced from time to time investing a lot of energy or resources, a lot of time and effort into various things, really to see it to no avail. And sometimes in spite of the things we do, things just don't turn out the way that we would like for them to turn out. And you've experienced that, I'm sure. Maybe a lot of parents that you are aware of have raise children up, and they put a lot of time and effort into trying to teach those children the best that they could, to try to get them to do that which they ought to do. And when those children get older and they leave the home, sometimes things don't turn out the way that the parents wish that it would have turned out. And so folks make their choices along the way. We each make choices. You chose to be here this morning. I'm thankful for that. But man has made choices from the beginning. We have the ability to make choices. I think about a scripture that's found over in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 and in verse 19. Where the Bible very simply says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We've got to make the choice. Sometimes in spite of our very best efforts, individuals choose to do that which is contrary to the Bible. And I want us to think about the topic that I've put on the board this morning, if you're lost. There are those among us this morning who have not made the choice to obey the gospel, and in so doing, they made the choice to not obey. They made the choice to continue their life outside of the body of Christ, outside of Christ. Where if they die in that condition, there is no hope. And just because we obey doesn't mean that that's all that there is to it, that we just simply obey initially and there's nothing left for us to do. But we've got to be found faithful. As Jesus would say in the book of Matthew chapter 24, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We've got to be faithful all the days of our earthly pilgrimage if we want heaven to be our eternal home. So I want us to think about, if you're lost this morning, if come the judgment day, you should hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then you'll be lost in spite of some things. And I'd like for us to think about some of them this morning and tonight. So the outlines are gone in the back, but should you want a copy of it, you let me know and I'll get a copy of it. Hang on to it if you got one, because we'll look at several this morning, and then several tonight. Should you be lost come the great judgment day, I want you to know that it is in spite of the grace of God. The Bible says that the grace of God brings salvation, Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. In the book of Romans, chapter 3 and in verse 24, Paul penned to those at Rome, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and in verse 7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption, that is in Christ. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. If you're lost come the judgment, it is in spite of the grace of God. God has made it available. Salvation is available to all mankind. And yet in spite of that, not everyone is going to be saved. making the choice to not obey. And so it will be in spite of what God has done for you. He's made every provision for your salvation and for my salvation. But as you think about it, if you're lost and some things that is in spite of, I want us to understand that it will be in spite of the blood of Christ. I find it amazing that individuals think that there is absolutely nothing that an individual must do in order to be saved. That God has so fixed it from the beginning of time that He has determined who is going to be saved individually, and so fixed it that there's nothing that they can do to either be lost, and those that are lost, it is so fixed and determined that there's nothing that they can do to be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. God has predestined that those who will obey will be saved, and those who will be lost will be lost. The plan was determined by which man could be saved. That's the whole theme of the Bible. Salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God is the theme of the entire Bible. But if you're lost, come the judgment day. It's in spite of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of verses in the Bible talk about the blood of Christ. Like the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 24. When Jesus said, "This is the blood of my New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And it's also stated, a parallel to that, in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. Jesus shed His blood so that we could be saved. Most of us understand that. Sometimes folks forget about it. They live their lives as though they didn't know that. But Jesus shed His blood so that you could be saved. Now, folks, as some teach today, predestined to be saved, and there's nothing that they could do to change it one way or the other, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come to begin with. Are you aware of that? He just simply left the glories of heaven and came to this low life of sin for absolutely no purpose whatsoever. Because if God was going to save individuals regardless, because He had so fixed it, then why did He come to begin with? That is, why did the Son come to begin with? It was to no avail. It was absolutely for no purpose whatsoever. But again, the Bible doesn't teach that. He came so that we might live and have the forgiveness of our sins. He's a propitiation for our sins. That is a covering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2 and then verse 2. I love the passage. I've used it many times. I hope you'll commit it to memory. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15, when Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." That's why He came. Shed His blood on the cross so that you can be saved. But should you hear those words come to judgment day, "Depart from me," and you're lost for all eternity, it'll be in spite of the fact that Jesus has shed His blood. But also, you'll be lost in spite of the revelatory work of the Holy Spirit. The fact that the Holy Spirit revealed the words of life, the words of truth, whereby we could know what we must do in order to be saved. I often think about the fact that we point out in passages like Psalm 19, Psalm 90, and Romans 1, that we can look out and see the creation, a beautiful day, as C.L. had stated earlier, just a beautiful day of life. The birds were singing. Just a beautiful day. And we can look out and we understand that design always demands a designer and that God created all things. But ladies and gentlemen, that tells me nothing, absolutely nothing, about what I must do in order to go from this earthly pilgrimage to where the God who created all things is when this life is over. It tells me nothing about that. It tells me nothing about the fact that I'm a sinner. It tells me nothing about the fact of God's plan to save man. Tells me nothing of all those things. In fact, it tells me nothing about the Holy Spirit. I know that I would have no way of knowing that there is a Holy Spirit except I read it in the book of God. And the Bible teaches me that the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God so that we can know what we must do, like 1 Corinthians 1, verses 2, 12, and 13. talk about the fact that they wrote, not words according to man's wisdom, but words that the Holy Spirit gave. The words of the Bible are inspired, not just a thought, but the words themselves are inspired of God. Or the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, a passage you're very familiar with. It's a passage concerning inspiration. The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, that's 2 Peter 1, 20 and verse 21. The Holy Spirit made known unto man the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. A lot of other passages talk about that fact. And so you can know what you must do in order to be saved and to stay saved and to go to heaven when life is over. But should you be lost, come to judgment. I want you to understand that it is in spite of what the Holy Spirit has done. By the way, what the Holy Spirit does in conversion of man today, from sin to salvation, is accomplished through the written Word of God. And you'll be lost in spite of what He has done in revealing the Word of God to man so that we can read it and know it. Words of life. I love that hymn. We have it revealed for us in the Bible. Well, that covers what God did, what Christ did, and what the Holy Spirit did, as it were, in a nutshell. And so if you're lost, come to judgment, and it is in spite of what the Godhead has done. And I want us to understand that. But there's a lot of other things. And should you be lost, come to judgment, that it is in spite of. The next one I want us to think about is the fact that if I'm lost come the judgment, it will be in spite of the opportunities that God has given for me to obey. Now look out in the audience this morning, and it is filled with individuals who are here over and over and over again. And I'm thankful for that. We never tire, should never tire, of seeing one another, should we? And so I'm thankful that we come every opportunity that is afforded to us. Now there's a lot of people that are going to be lost in spite of the many opportunities that God has given. I don't know why folks linger in the response to the gospel of Christ. And why they say, not today, not now, it's just not the time. I've often told individuals, if that's your mentality, the devil has won the battle. Because you'll say, not today, but tomorrow. And tomorrow it'll be not today, but tomorrow. And so on, until you have not another day. And you've lost your soul. There is no day like today to obey the gospel. You agree with me?
Amen.
I'm reading the Bible, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And I'm reading the book of Ephesians chapter 6, or chapter 5 rather, and then verse 16. Redeeming the time. Very simply put, that means make the use of your time. Obey while you have time. Yesterday is gone, today is, tomorrow may never be. James 4:14 says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Each of us are growing older, minute by minute. And this life is fleeting. We need to obey while we have opportunity to do that. Should you be lost, come to judgment, it will be in spite of all those missed opportunities that you had. One last point this morning. Should you be lost, come to judgment, it will be in spite of the long suffering of God. I think about a passage, and I want you to come with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter records the fact that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Verse 10. All these things of a physical nature will be dissolved and pass away and be melted and be dissolved and so forth with heat and fire and so forth, burned up, the latter part of verse 10 and then verse 11. And then he says in verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The fact that time goes on is a direct testament of God's long suffering. And that's directly tied to a statement that he made back up in verse 9. That the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Not slack, he says, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you something this morning. There's not a soul in the audience this morning that God doesn't desire to be saved. God wants you to go to heaven. He's made provision for that. There's no reason, no excuse under the sun as to why you should be lost. You can obey. And should you be lost, come to judgment, it'll be spite into the of the things we've talked about, in spite of God, Christ's shed blood, the Holy Spirit, revelatory work of the Holy Spirit, His Word, the many opportunities that you have had in the long suffering of God. Should you be here this morning and you're lost, that is, you're in your sins, you've never obeyed, you have an opportunity to do that. So it says, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, it's very simple. You do what they did in New Testament times to be saved. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10, verse 17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, 24. Repenting of your sins, changing your mind about what you've been doing. Turning from your wickedness to doing that which is right. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like He commanded, like Jesus commanded in Matthew 10:32. And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and then verse 38. Should you be here this morning, you have done those things, but you've turned your back on the Lord, you're not being faithful as you should. And you realize that and you want to straighten things up. Begin anew and do that which is right. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. We'll pray with you if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If not, come right now.